Well, welcome back to Three Putt Par. My name is Mike Caridi. I'm your host. This is episode number 38, and it is Zurich Classic Week. It's a little bit RBC Heritage because that's not quite finished yet, and we will talk about that. But it is Zurich Classic Week, which is the pairs event week. It's a very random week. And just to follow on with the randomness, we've got two guests this week. First time I've ever had two guests on. So pairs on the golf, pairs on the podcast. Lily and Amelia, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Now, I didn't just get two random people to come on before the listeners think that's a bit weird. The reason you're on is because recently I've been tipped into a new podcast. Shanked it?
That's it.
Amelia's podcast?
It's on the box.
Now, firstly, Shanked It. I need to ask about the name to start with because it is a golf term, as all the people that listen to this podcast will know. Where did the name come from?
I think it was like trying to find something that could universally, well, not quite universally, be applied to many sports, but not being perfect. So you can do it in footy, you can do it in golf, you can do it in pool. I've heard people say it in pool. That's me most of the time that I play pool. So it was just kind of like, this is going to be a podcast. It's going to be about sport, but it's not going to be perfect. The opinions aren't going to be perfect. So that's where the name kind of came from.
I like it. So yeah, it is a podcast, and it is, you are the host. You have had guests on, and Lily's been your guest the last 2 weeks.
Yes. 2 weeks, and we will be preparing another episode this evening together. So
there you go. That's why you're in the same place, same time. Okay. And so for the listeners that haven't listened to it or haven't seen it before, give us the rundown on what is the go-to each week? So what is the preface of this podcast?
Okay, so I was trying to think about how I would give you like a very, very concise rundown, and I really have none. Although the tagline, sports news with a little sugar, is probably the best way that I can describe it. So it's very much just what is happening in sport, but at an entry level. So even if you're not interested in sport, even if you're not across all of the names, I think that that's kind of, I listen to a lot of sports podcasts and I learn as I go, but I also have a bit of background knowledge. I think that sometimes people will speak about listening to sports podcasts and they're like, I have no idea who these people are, what's going on. So they just lose interest. So I've kind of tried to make it very digestible, very entry level, and kind of focused a bit more on the human side of it. So where kind of sport intersects with fashion, with culture, with ethics, with kind of like social responsibility, I guess, just to make it a little bit like finding what I find to be interesting about sport, because ultimately I would say that myself and the guest hosts are the audience as well. So it's what do we find interesting? Let's delve into those things.
And what made you start a podcast? What?
Talk.
That's a good point. Yeah, fair enough.
And I really like sport. And I think I saw a bit of I'm sure it's not an actual gap in the market, but it seemed like something that was fairly untapped. I feel like this is probably a boy thing as well. But girls, like, so often you'll have a chat with people and you're like, oh my God, we should totally do a podcast. Being a teacher, I definitely could not do a podcast that's just like about the random things that I do. I would get cancelled. I would lose my job. Not that I do anything like too terrible, but, you know, it's like not the types of things that you can speak about. So it was like, okay, what could you do? What's something else that you like? It is sport. I'm like a very, yes, I did play sport and was pretty like competitive with it, but now I'm very much an observer of sport. We will get into me as a golfer, it's like, it is something that I will do every weekend. Every day is something sport related.
I think that, obviously I got onto it because Lily shared it on the socials and that's where I saw it and listened to that first episode maybe 2 weeks ago, and I enjoyed it. And I'm not just saying that because you guys are here, but I said to Lily post, it was actually refreshing to hear two female voices talk about sport. And have a very different lens, right? So like you said, I'm an absolute golf sicko. So when I talk about golf, people just like tune out. Whereas I think where you found a really good spot is, I think you described it in like episode one, that it's kind of like just knowing enough to hold a conversation at like a dinner party or something like that. Like you've I think you've done that really well. So that's really good. So I really, anyone listening, I'd recommend definitely having downloading a few episodes and listening and start. The golf listeners, obviously, here, probably start with the Masters episode.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm
glad.
And I think one of the things that you've done well is, which makes me laugh, is some of the stuff that you talked about. I think it was, it might have been one of the first episodes as well, one of the episodes, early episodes. You talk about AFL, you talk about all sorts of different sports. And one of the things you delved into was off-season weddings.
Yes.
Fantastic. Like, I would never have thought to talk about that. So is that just something you thought, oh, you know what, people might find this interesting, or like, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is, like, once again, I am, like, interested in that type of side of things. I'm interested in, like, yeah, Super Bowl, not so much the score. I'm interested in the halftime performance, yep, in terms of, like, what's happening in the off season. I'm not interested in trades. I want to know who went to whose wedding, where did they have it, what did they wear, how many dresses, how much do we think that it all cost, like that type of thing. Glamour on the Grid. I mean, I am, I guess, interested in F1, but also Glamour on the Grid is like a cool part of, yep, it all as well. So yeah, just like finding the bits that I think are interesting, and then hopefully everyone else does as well.
Yeah, Lily's a golf expert, so that's a great person to get on, especially when the majors are on and other things are happening. You've talked to, like you said, you've talked to a little bit of horse racing, you've talked a bit of golf. I know that you've talked about being a cyclist. I know you've talked about Formula One. Is there any sports that you think, nah, not interested in that, or will you just kind of cover a bit of everything?
It's interesting.
I mean, we've even covered like equestrian riding. Yeah. Lawn bowls.
Yep.
Yeah.
Curling. Oh, the Olympics is coming up though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I love the Winter Olympics so much. Yeah. I mean, I know it's the Summer Olympics coming up. Is there something? Maybe like NASCAR.
Yeah.
But who knows? Like, never say never. If there is like some hot story, I think that's where the gossip segment is really good, because, yep, it's like, if that's where the little fires are going on, then like,
yep,
let's chat about that.
And I don't want to undersell it. It's not, there's definitely stuff that you've mentioned in episodes. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, Jack Silvani did his knee. How did I miss that? Like, I just had no idea. I've been away on holiday, so I haven't seen very much AFL at all. But so there's definitely some substance there as well. So I don't want people to think, oh, we just talk a little bit. You've talked a little bit about fashion and do a bit of this and a bit of that. It is still informative at the same time, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's the teacher in me. But I do like it when podcasts do kind of let you know something that you probably wouldn't have learned otherwise. Like,
yeah,
I do like learning. So if listeners get to learn something, then that's a bonus.
Yep. And favorite topic so far that you've gone over that you get excited about?
I'm excited about, like, in the future, Brownlow outfits.
Oh, yeah.
Olympics is going to be good. I think that we've started to kind of chat about that. I think that is really good. Also, actually, do you know what? The F1, Christian Horner, Max Verstappen whole thing, that was really, that did deliver on the kind of juicy gossip, and it was the gift that kept on giving. It was like, okay, we're back. Christian's back again. There's more to this story. That was quite fun. Although it just, now that the F1 season started, it sounds like it's just going to be pretty boring.
That's the same guy winning.
Interesting race this season.
Yeah, well, I sat down last night to watch the race at 5 o'clock Melbourne time. For anyone overseas, that's probably one of our better times to watch. And yeah, still pretty boring. A lot of pace cars, but also just, yeah, he's just too good. It's very disappointing.
It is. Stop being so good.
Yeah. Now, onto golf. You have started playing golf. So how long ago did you start? And more importantly, why did you start playing golf?
Okay. I reckon I started maybe 18 months ago.
Yep.
My main reason being, well, for starters, why did the boys get to have all the fun? Like, I feel like other than Lily, there's so few girls that just kind of casually play golf. But when you hear about boys playing golf, they're like, oh yes, it's so good. And they have a few drinks and they just like chat and walk around. And my grandpa, I'm lucky enough to still have a grandpa. And golf is one of the only things that he can do. And actually it was in lockdown or maybe in 2020 when we were going to do the clinic at Vic.
Oh, yes. I was organizing this clinic for a bunch of girls our age who, you know, were keen to kind of give it a go with the head pro at Vic. And because of COVID, it didn't happen, which was a bit devastating. But it was just the kind of the moment where I thought, well, you know, if we can get a group of girls who are all willing to give it a go, the same age, same interests, you know, at least you've got someone you can call on any one day and say, hey, let's go to the range, or, you know, everyone's at a similar ability, and it kind of removes that barrier to entry. You've got a, you know, a core group of people that you can just pick up the phone to and play mini golf even, or play nine holes, whatever
anything.
And so that was one thing. My grandpa doesn't remember a lot these days, but he remembered. He's like, when are you going to do your golf? Are you still going to learn to do golf? Once you've learned, like, you've got to have lessons. You've got to learn how to do it. You'll never go back, blah, blah, blah. So that was kind of, yes, I'm going to go. I'm going to get lessons. I'm going to play with my grandpa, which I've only done a few times, but it's, you know, something that I can play with my dad, my brother, Lily. Like, I've got my auntie and uncle are into it. So it was just that kind of, you know, something that you can learn to do. I think my first private lesson that I had was like quite long. I guess, you know, they want to get you money. They want to get you back the next week. But, you know, you play a few holes and you're like, oh, I was like, I get it. Like just being outside, hitting the ball around. I think it was lucky. It was a nice day having a chat. I was like, yeah, I get it.
I also feel like it's opened a bit of a new network for you as well. Yeah. Like you've met a lot of new people in the sport as well, which, I mean, goes without saying, you never know who you might be paired with. Definitely that aspect as well.
And Lily, you're the opposite end of the spectrum. So you didn't just start playing. How old were you when you started playing and how'd you get into it?
I reckon I was probably six maybe when my dad took me down to Sandy Driving Range to a kid's clinic. He gave me a 9 iron. I just had the one club. I attended like Sunday junior clinics for a number of years with Michael Sund, who's now out at Yarra Bend, and a very, very good coach. That's kind of how it started. And as I got older, the numbers of the class kind of dwindled. And Michael moved out to MGA and it became a girls only kind of Monday night clinic, which was great. But at this point I wasn't on the golf course and I probably was falling out of love with it a little bit, that kind of 11, 12, 13 age bracket. I wasn't on the course. I didn't have a handicap or anything like that. I was just a range kid. So I didn't really have any goals to sort of work towards. And then, got introduced to some women at Victoria Golf Club and signed up as a sub-junior member there, got a handicap. Their platform there was really encouraging of juniors. It was $5 to play nine holes on a Sunday afternoon, and the ladies would walk around with you to make sure you're kind of picking up the rules and getting to know the sport. But, really low barrier to entry. It's such a great golf course.
Mm.
And, once I had a handicap and other, you know, girls to play with, the enjoyment factor really kicked in and became quite competitive with myself and with everyone else, playing a lot of junior events, and I guess the rest is history.
We're not burying the headline and you're not getting away without telling us. So you play pennant, so you're a good golfer. What's your handicap?
My handicap is 4.8.
So you're very good at golf.
Some days better than others, we'll say.
Yeah, that's everybody. And how long have you been playing pennant for?
Oh, I reckon I've been playing pennant since I was probably 14, 15.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always at Vic?
Always at Vic, yes. Yeah. No, it's really nice to kind of look back over the years. Obviously, our pennant season's just finished just yesterday. It's always interesting when you kind of get your memories on Facebook and alike at the same time every year and just seeing how the team's kind of grown together. And, you know, we've had a lot of players who are really core over that entire period. So yeah, it's really cool. We've had some really amazing women support us throughout that time as well. And they're always there every week in, week out, rain, hail or shine. So yeah, it's really cool to put together a good season for the most part.
And does Vic still do the same sort of thing with the juniors, like coming on and doing Sunday stuff?
They do, yeah. I think the structure is slightly different now. There's just like a little bit more sort of formality around the structure. But yeah, their female golf program has always been so strong. We have a really big number of junior girls at Victoria, which I think having girls breeds bringing more girls because the girls want to play together, which is really fantastic. And yeah, the women are so supportive of the junior golf program. I would actually argue that, well, it's not even an argument, it's well known that our junior girls program is like far superior to our boys, which is really cool, just for something a bit different.
Yeah, right. And Amelia, for you, are you starting to get, how far on the golf journey are you? So you've started playing, you're 18 months in. I'm guessing you probably haven't been playing every week for 18 months.
Absolutely not.
Where are you at with the passion, the addiction?
Do you know what? It like ebbs and flows. I will get busy and then be like, oh, no, I can't be bothered. And then I'll see like a window of time where I can go, and then I'll be like, yes. And I'll play. I'll be like, yeah, okay, when's like the next day that I can go and play? In saying that, I will generally play 9 holes. It's a very like casual kind of, you know, relationship with golf. But I would like to just like play at different courses a little bit more. I mean, I feel like I just know Brighton Public Golf Course too well. I know the Between the Trees really well. There's certain bunkers I know real well. But yeah, so I guess that's kind of where I'm at. I would like to eventually get like a handicap in the next maybe year or so. Kind of had a look at future golf, whether or not that's a good way to kind of play around, learn a few new courses and get a handicap. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty bad.
We need to get you on the Furrows at Kingston Heath. Yes. So much fun.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think it's the Furrows is a good example of a gateway for people to enjoy more golf. People that don't necessarily want to play 18 holes, want to just enjoy it, or are just getting into golf, doesn't matter your ability, you can go and enjoy it. And I think that's just your story is very similar to so many stories in golf at the moment of people that are just getting involved, and especially around that COVID time, found a love for golf. You know, it's still booming, which is good. And it's, I won't say shocking, it's surprising to see how many more females I'm seeing on course, just getting out there and just starting out, but playing in twos and fours. Yeah, it's great. It's not a bad thing at all.
Yeah, it's nice to kind of be at least at the stage where you are like, you're making par, you have like your first birdie, like these types of things are happening. It's not just like, oh, don't bother recording the score, don't bother recording the score. Like once you kind of get to that stage, then I feel like that's when you're kind of hooked.
Yeah. And then you get to my stage where you're like, I'm just not scoring today at all. I'm just going to carry 6 clubs and a speaker and it's twilight and I just don't care. I'm going to drop 3 or 4 golf balls. And that's kind of the more fun part of golf for me at the moment than scoring at all. When everyone goes through, like you said, ebbs and flows around what they want to see and get out of it.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I was at a point where I really was hard on myself and was like, I should be improving more, probably like mid last year. And I was like, no, I should be better. Like I've been doing this for too long and I should be much better than I am, and really, really got annoyed at myself. And then there was something that clicked, and I think I just had a few like very fun days on the course, and I was like, you know what, I actually don't care. Like, and my coach would be like, no, like, can you do this, and I'm like, I don't even care. Like I'm not going to argue with you about it. I just don't care. Like, it's fine. I'm fine with the fact that like I'm not going to be a scratch golfer. It's fine.
Like that, no, welcome to golf. That story is like every golfer's gone through that. I mean, I didn't play as a kid, so I started playing quite late. I mean, I played a little bit, but not really. I probably started playing when I was early 20s. And I think I played like a mental person for 4 years. Like I would practice 3 days a week and my handicap just wouldn't get lower. And I was just like, I don't get it. Like, I'm doing all the practice stuff. Like I'm supposed to just keep getting better. Like my handicap came down from like 17 to like 8. Like why aren't I off like 3 or 4? Like it should be just simple as that. And golf just doesn't work that way. But you eventually figure it out and get to where you want to be and you're happy.
Yes. Yeah. You find your peace. Make your peace.
Inner peace. Now we're going to ask some more specific golf questions. And I've never done this with 2 people. So I already know Amelia's first answer. It's called Lucky Sevens. It's 7 questions about golf, but it's about your golf. Okay. So Amelia, what's the favorite course you've ever played?
My favorite is Brighton.
Is it? I would never have guessed
you know
that.
What? Yeah. Could be Burnley, though.
Oh, yeah, Burnley. They're redoing Burnley. So Burnley will be a beautiful course.
I've only played it once. So you know what? I've only got one time that I can compare it to. Like, I've had my worst golf and my best golf at Brighton, whereas I've had some like okay-ish golf at Burnley. But it was like a twilight session, so it was very like nice weather after work kind of. But no, I got to say Brighton.
Yeah. Stick with home. And yeah. Lily?
I feel like I can't not say Chantilly in Paris.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
But that's probably less so for the actual golf, more for the experience.
Yep.
But following that, I think maybe Portrush in Ireland, I absolutely loved. So much nice. Fun. Yeah. Really
now, for
it.
People listening to the podcast that have listened to other episodes, they would have known Nick Mills, who was on, who is Lily's husband, I can say now. And they heard the story about that golf course and in France and the proposal. So this is I won't say Mrs. Nick Mills. That sounds weird. but now they can put two and two together and get four. Yeah. So that's a good reason to like that course, if nothing else, even if the course was rubbish, I guess.
No, the course is beautiful as well. Like, I can't take that
never
away.
Hurts. Never hurts.
Not the whole experience, but really took the cake.
Yeah. Now, Lily, you can go first. Number one course on the must play list that you haven't played yet.
Ooh, number one course. I'd really like to play a course that Nick has actually worked on. That's probably a bit of a different angle. Yeah, Nick's obviously been working overseas quite a bit in the States, and I think it'd just be really cool to play some of the courses that he has been, you know, putting a lot of time and effort into.
Yeah. He could walk around with you and, like, literally nonstop talk in your ear about all the stuff that he's done while you're trying to play golf.
Yeah, exactly. I put that blade of grass there.
Yeah. And Millie, have you ever looked at any other courses and thought, you know what, I want to go and play there one day?
I think I'd like to play Victoria. I mean, we're lucky with the Sandbelt.
Yeah.
And, you know, growing up on the Sandbelt, you kind of take for granted the fact that, like, there are so many amazing golf courses there. But I think that I know, well, obviously Lily plays at Vic, but, you know, I know a few people who play there, and yeah, having a good girls scene there would be good.
100%. Yeah, I live on the Clay Belt. So I live northwest of the city. So there is exactly no good golf courses near where I live. So, yes, you are very spoiled where you are. Now, Amelia, I don't know how much golf you've watched in the last 18 months or if you had love for golf before, but you did say you love watching sport. The Masters or the Open Championship, which one do you prefer? You can only have one. The other one's got to go.
Okay. The Open. Tradition. Okay. I'm a traditionalist. So, yes, I'm going to say the Open.
Lily?
I'm going to go the opposite and say the Masters.
Ooh, wow.
I don't really know why. I just think it's like the allure of the event, the exclusivity of the course, the 15 years on the waiting list for ballot tickets. It's the whole thing.
Yeah. No, it's a – they're both different, but I think we as Australians have an affinity for both. Like, I think – we love the Open because it's got such a rich history and lots of Aussies have won it. And then the Masters is kind of always very elusive and this very green, you know, Alice in Wonderland place that we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and watch. And they're both very different, but very much something that we all want to watch every year. So it's hard to pick, definitely. Lily, which one do you prefer, striping a drive or flushing an iron?
I think flushing an iron.
Okay. I'm getting more flushing irons. Do you have a specific iron when you think about it?
Probably a 7-iron.
7-iron. Okay.
Yeah, just like really mid-pack. You know, just hitting a really good shot.
Yep.
Good.
Amelia, which one would you prefer?
Same.
Iron.
Yeah.
I was sure you were going to say driving.
Yeah,
really?
Getting the big dog out and just smashing it over the fence at the driving range or something.
Oh, my God. No, it's like going nowhere near the fence. Like, I do not hit my driver very far. And I think that, like, the sound of the iron just, like, oh, there's just, like, this perfect kind of ASMR sound. But I reckon I would have to go with a 5-iron because I can't hit it very far, so it's going to go a lot further.
I think the 5-iron is the most popular answer when it comes to that answer, when people have said it's striping an iron and it's a 5. But everyone's got the feeling in their head, you know, that You can barely feel the ball on the club. You know, if you've played golf and you've hit one, you know exactly how it feels. Amelia, when you're putting, is the pin in or the pin out?
Pin out.
Pin out always?
Unless I am like off the green.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
And I'm just doing like it, you know, like send it kind of putt. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, unless I'm being really lazy, but no, off the green's fine. Lily?
I am always pin out. Yeah, it's quite bizarre playing with some of the other like young females who like kind of picked it up pre-COVID, like just pre-COVID or like during COVID. They're so used to having the pin in that they actually prefer to have it in. And that is just like really crazy to me. I'm like, feels like the hole is so much smaller.
Yeah, I agree. I find it weird, but it's funny how the people that like it are very religious to it. I think especially if you started late and it's all you've known, I get it. I think for us that have played before that, it's like, no, well, it just seems weird.
It had to be out. There was no other option.
There's no other choice. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like also sometimes people will miss a putt and they'll be like, oh, if the pin was in, it would have knocked it. It would have gone in. Like they'll almost treat it like a backboard.
Such an ick.
I'm the opposite. If I've got a short putt and I just am lazy and I don't take it out, I will miss because my eye aims to putt between the flag and the edge of the hole and I'll be like, why did I do that? I do that all the time. I really got to learn to keep taking that putt, that pin out.
Yes.
It's the way to go.
Now, time of day for playing golf. Are you a dew sweeper or half sets and sunsets? Your afternoon, twilight round, or first thing in the morning? What's the preference?
I'm a first thing in the morning. If it doesn't get done in the morning, it's tough to get it done in the afternoon. But having said that, I wonder if, because where we live, we're kind of going with the afternoon traffic to the golf courses.
Yeah.
And so it's just like getting down to the golf courses in the afternoon is just really unfeasible. So I wonder if we lived a bit closer to the golf course, if that might change. A quick 9 after 5 or something like that in the summer might happen a little bit more often.
Yep.
That savings at sunset prime, I would say that's like my favorite time.
Yep.
To play.
I'm
9, yeah, just kind of, 5-ish, perfect.
Yeah, I think it depends on the time of year and what you want to play, obviously, but everyone kind of has a preference. I think for me it's, I think I'm probably afternoon. I think the golf that I enjoy most is, that twilight, walk around and just not care, get some fresh air and, you know, unwind. It's probably the best way to look at it. Now, like Amelia,
I don't like racing the dark.
Like, oh yeah.
How many holes left?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And dark.
And glow in the dark balls are not that good.
No, they're not. No. But my local, I'll say goat track is, 2 minutes from my front door and I can play 9 comfortably, but then I can play 1, 2, and 9. And we would quite often do that literally until we're on 9's a par 3. And I can hit it. Roughly feel the directions it's gone. If I don't find it, that's when we go inside. That's kind of just keep going until that point, really, is the rule. And then the bar's open. So go from there.
Perfect.
Now, you might not have this, Amelia, but I'll ask you the question anyway. Do you have yet a favorite memento or keepsake golf related? Something in your golf bag, in your golf pocket, something that you think this means something to me?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if you don't.
I've got a few bits and pieces in my golf bag that I probably think are lucky, like certain balls that I'm like, no, this is lucky. Because I'm very superstitious.
Yep.
I want to say like my scorecard from my first par, but I didn't score. So, you know, that was just like a muck around. And then it was like, oh my God, you made your first par, but we didn't like have a, so that would be a good one. Yeah. So I don't know that I do.
You got a long golf future ahead of you. I'm sure you'll have something. Next time you're on, you can tell me, oh no, this is what it is now. It's, this ball marker from this fancy golf course that I went to in the US or something.
Yeah, definitely. Watch this space.
Lily?
I don't know that I'm super, committed to a particular thing in my bag, actually. Or
it could be something at home. It could be like a favorite.
Anything. My engagement ring's not bad. We have so much golf paraphernalia in our house. Like, if you were getting a widespread of this room right now, we're referring it to as the pod room tonight, but it's usually the golf room. So, yeah.
So, is any of it yours or is it all Nick's?
I'd say 98% of it's Nick's. Okay. I have one set of golf clubs and the rest remains to be seen. I think I love most my putter, though. I just love my putter. It's just solid, really good.
Okay. What's the ad? What sort of putter is it?
It's a Scotty Cameron, and it is a Cameron and Crown like collaboration.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of got white paint and it's kind of like the saber tooth kind of design.
Nice.
Had it for nearly 10 years now and I just love it.
Good choice. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the golf this week. Did either of you watch any golf this week? And you can definitely say no if you didn't watch any golf.
Yeah, no.
No, good. Okay. So I'm going to run through some golf very, very quickly for the listeners that are keeping up. The golf in the RBC Heritage at Hilton Head is not finished and it won't be finished till tomorrow morning, Melbourne time. Scottie Scheffler is going to win again. I think he's rated at about a 99.8% chance. He's leading by five. He's got three holes to play. It will definitely be going down as another win to him. Obviously, you guys talked about the Masters. He won the Masters last week. How do you think Scotty's going in general? Pretty good?
He's just a machine. We went back through in the lead up to the Masters some of his recent results and, yeah, the guy just can't miss. But I would say pretty similar to Nelly Korda at the moment.
Yeah.
Kind of 100%. Cool to see them both kind of taking the reins of golf and taking the charge. It's really cool.
It is. I think it's surprising. People will look at it and measure them against each other. I think Nelly's won five in a row. Scotty's going to win four and have a second splitting in the middle. And I think you summed it up really well. Like, you just don't see this, let alone men's and women's best player in the world doing it at the same time. It's just amazing. It's amazing to watch.
Yeah, it's really cool. And they're both, like, pretty young. Like, I mean, both been involved in the sport for a long time, so very, like, deserving. They haven't kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But to watch their growth over the last couple of years is really cool to see them, you know, achieving all their goals.
It is. And Scotty's 27, nearly 28. He looks 45. I know people that watch.
I was so shocked. When I found out how young he was, I was like, oh, my gosh.
he's an old soul. But he's got the putter working. So I run a lot of stats and data. The listeners know this. So he's strokes game putting his last four events. He's been a positive versus the field. So what that means is, if you rate everyone how they putted this week, he's sitting above average, above the middle. So when he does that, he plays well. So his last four events, he's finished plus 1.29, plus 0.4, plus 0.1, plus 0.6, and he's had three wins in a second. So when he gets the putter right, he wins because the rest of his game's flawless. And again, this week, I had a look at his data before. He's going to finish above average, but nothing substantially above, but he's going to win again. So I think Rory McIlroy talked a few months ago maybe about him trialing the mallet putter, and he's gone to a mallet putter and seems to be working pretty well for him. So, yeah, don't be shocked when you wake up tomorrow and see that he won. Probably the biggest thing that most people were surprised about was it is a limited field this week and they knew it was going to rain. They didn't pull the golf forward to get in before the rain started, and I think they were trying to hit the TV times more so than they were worried about getting the event done. So now these guys have got to come back on Monday, which is a bit disappointing for them.
Yeah, that's painful.
Nelly Korda, as you said, so Nelly won, I think it's the first major of the year for the women's events. So she won, say she won comfortably. She was a bit clinical. She just did what she had to do, a bit ruthless, won by two shots from Marjorie Stark. It was, just a nice, easy event for her. I think she's becoming that person. Obviously, she's won a few events in a row, but she's definitely the sort of person, a bit like Scotty, when I think the people around her see her at the top of the leaderboard, start to get a little bit nervous. There's a little bit more pressure.
Absolutely. That's her second major win as well, I think.
Yep, correct.
She's just a force to be reckoned with. She's such a consistent player.
Yeah. No, she's exceptional. She's exceptional to watch, and I think it's probably telling how far the women's game's coming because more and more people are watching more and more women's golf. Like I would have sat there on the weekend and probably watched more of this event than I'd watched of the men's event, and just because it was just a bit more interesting. I mean, it's a major, obviously, but it was a little bit more of an interesting event than what was happening over at Harbour Town.
Absolutely. I was actually saying to Mel just before we got on, I remember following Nelly off the back of Jessica coming out. You play at Victoria one year in the Australian Open. And so I reckon I followed her on Instagram or social media since she was probably like 14 or 15. Yeah. Since she was so young. So it's really cool to see like how much growth she's had and that she's in the spotlight. And obviously her sister's, you know, an amazing player as well. And her brother's a fantastic tennis player.
Yeah.
Their family is just so athletic. It's really cool to see them just kicking goals.
I'm curious for both of you to answer this. So when it comes to playing, you obviously both play different levels, different parts of your golfing lives. Do you watch golf at all on television?
I do. I feel like I have been encouraged to watch golf, and I think that it's helped me mentally because, I mean, obviously you kind of like when you have a coach and you're just one-on-one with a coach, you see how they play and then you go, okay, well, I'm not doing it the way they're doing it. I'm doing it wrong. And you kind of see there's only one way to do things. As soon as I started watching golf, I was like, oh my gosh, they all do something so different. I also come from like a dance background. So I think that my kind of like goal of doing things exactly the way they should be done comes from that. So once I started watching golf, it was just like, okay, everyone can be a little bit different. You don't have to, you know, I think as a female golfer, you kind of look at someone like Nelly Korda and you're like, oh my gosh, that is like the pinnacle, need to be like that. And it's like, I'm like 5'3" on a good day. I'm never going to be that person.
Yeah.
But it's like just so good to see how different people play and that you can all be good.
Yeah. No, you summed it up perfectly. I think especially when you go to get lessons, the bad coaches will pull up Tiger Woods' swing or Dustin Johnson's swing and be like, look at what he does here. Look at the way he gets. I'm never getting my body into that shape at impact. So let's just pull up Craig Parry or like someone who looks more like me and we'll run from there because that's going to be much more realistic, or at least to try to attain anyway.
Yeah, I had a coach, like I've seen multiple, and I had a coach kind of just say to me, here you go, here's a player who is similar in stature to you, and this is how she's kind of able to do it. Like, because I would just think that there's this barrier to me hitting the ball far as like, well, I'm just not strong enough, I'm not big enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm never going to be able to do it. And he was like, no, but you know what, like, if you get your biomechanics right, you can do this. Like, here you go. Here's an example, which was good. Like, I did appreciate that.
Yeah. And Lily, do you watch? I get the feeling you don't watch much golf.
No, I don't. I just can't get around it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the time difference or, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think my like most nostalgic memory for me is like listening to the Masters from my bedroom. Hearing my dad watch it from the lounge room and just like hearing the, you know, illustrious commentary and that, you know, very notable music that they play. I've never been one to watch much golf. I don't know what it is, but
do you watch the majors or just keep up to date with the scores?
Keep up to date with the scores, frequently checking. I feel like I like being across where everyone's at, but I just don't think it's a great spectator sport either. Sometimes
right in the background. Like, I will often put it on if I'm like doing work. Like, I was at uni last year, and when I would be like writing assignments, I would put it on in the background so you kind of like have something to. It's not like you're watching the footy or something and you need to like watch.
It's not fast paced.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to miss something. Like, if they're going to, if something good happens, they're going to replay it 45 times. So you're safe. For the Aussies at the women's event this week, Steph Curacao finished 40th, Gabby Ruffles 40th, Robin Choi 54th, Sarah Kemp 70th, and Karis Davison finished 72nd of the people that made the cut. I'm not going to talk too much about the Korn Ferry Tour this week, but I did want to talk about one thing, and that's Miles Russell, who's the 15-year-old who made the cut this week. Oh, yeah. Were talking about your 13 and getting into the game, I was thinking, this guy's 15. He shot 68, 66, 70, and 66, finished 20th, and gets into next week's event because he finished top 25. So not only did he play well, 70, he shot 70 in the third round, and you think this guy's going to capitulate, came back with a 66 in the final round to sew it up. The look on your face is the same as the look on my face. Absolutely astounding.
Oh my gosh.
So good. I mean, you love to see it. And you just hope that they can, you know, keep it up over the next couple of years. And
yeah, it's like, what's that trajectory? Like, that's exciting. Yep.
No, for sure. I think it's I really hope he plays well next week, because it will be all eyes now. You know, like, you would have had all eyes on it for the weekend once he made the cut. But yeah, I think it'll be a little bit crazy this week.
Such a good experience for him.
Yeah, for sure.
That moment in the limelight.
Yes. Now, this week's event is a Zurich Classic. As we said, it is the pairs event. It is a bit of a weird event. I mean, we had a major, we've had the elevated, escalated, designated, whatever it is they call big event this week, and now we're going into a teams event, two-person event. It is in New Orleans, so it probably be more fun than hanging out anywhere else or most other cities in the United States. It's been played here since 2005. Did miss here in 2006 with Katrina coming through and ruining at the golf tournament and the city. But it has switched over, as we said, to a teams event in 2017. It's a public course, so it's TPC Louisiana. How many golf rounds, nearest the pin, how many golf rounds do you think they get at TPC Louisiana per year? So public can play there. There's no wrong answers. You're both looking at me.
No, I'm like,
pick a number, any number.
I was going to say maybe 100,000?
32,000. So on a normal... It's still a fair view. I mean, if you think it's a pretty posh course, they won't be a poshest course. They wouldn't be having stacked out, and it would be pretty. It's one of those places. I don't know if you guys have been to New Orleans, but it would be seasons there where it would be disgusting. It would be like 30 degrees and 100% humidity, and you would not want to be playing golf. But that's still a lot of golf for a course, especially when it gets shut down for obviously a PGA Tour event. Last year, Davis Riley and Nick Hardy won at 30 under. They beat the Canadians. We've had a few big name pairs win here before. So Xander and Cantlay won. Leash and Cam Smith have won here before. We'll obviously be playing in Adelaide this week. John Rahm has won here with Ryan Palmer as well. So it's going to be an interesting event from the people that I do send out the email to. The email will still come out this week. For those of you that don't know, including two of you looking at me right now, an email does come out each week breaking down the course, the field, and the picks. If you do want it, it's 3puttpodcast@gmail.com. It's free. It's easy. You can delete it. Do whatever you like with it. I did have a lot more people jump on board the last few weeks because our number one pick 2 weeks ago was Akshay Bhatia, and he won at $67. And then obviously Scotty Scheffler was the main pick at the Masters, but we're not super excited about that because he was the favorite. This week's event, we didn't have the winner, but we did have a few guys finish up the top. But if I pick Scotty again, it would be really, really, really boring. So on to the most important part of the evening and the podcast. Mike versus the Mugs. That's Mugs. So you guys have done all your homework.
Yes.
You've done a deep dive onto the course, the form, the stats that are required to win. Now, we don't have odds, so you're just going to have to do your best. I've written down three pairs that I'm taking, and I can guarantee I've left all the best players for you guys, so you're safe. So, first up, who would you like off the board as your first pick in the event, the Zurich Classic?
We're going to go Team McIlroy-Lowry.
Yes.
Shane and Rory.
Good pick. They'll be in my I think they'll be second favorite once the market comes out.
Not surprising. I think when we were looking at the field, we were kind of surprised there's not a lot of, you know, household names.
No. No. It's a funny event because you'll get a few players that'll play it because they want to just add in something different as a part of their cycle. They like to add in a different stop each year. And you'll get other players that are playing it because they can get into the field and they wouldn't get into a normal event because they just don't have the status. But you'll also get weird pairings like Matt Fitzpatrick and his brother Alex, and they're trying to play well. If anyone that watched what's it called?
I was like, Drive to Survive?
Full Swing. So they're trying to win it, so he gets a PGA Tour card. And he's not the only. There's a million pairings doing the same sort of thing. But there are some pretty ordinary pairings there this week. But no, I think Rory and Lowry will be second favourite once the market comes up. And I have a feeling your next pick is going to be the favourite. So who would you like with your next pick? Because you get to pick all of them first.
Oh, no, we're going to leave a pick till the end.
But okay.
Given we were just touching on the brothers,
yes.
One of our picks was Matt and Alex.
Yes.
Just kind of love the brother duo. They're not the only brother duo.
It's no.
there for the weekend. But yeah, we thought that that'd be a good pick. Yep. Been well, so
I feel like they'll be about 6th or 7th in the market. So yeah, again, they'll be right up there. I think that the only thing going against Matt's playing great golf. Alex is a really, really good golfer, but I just don't know that he's not, you know, Rory McIlroy standard. So just not sure how we'll go this week. Who's your third pick?
Do you want to go 3?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I'm not wearing glasses. It's a big problem. Okay. It is Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele.
Yes. Good pick. I feel like they'll be the favourites this week. They're the best pairing comfortably. I think Xander and Cantlay will be favourite. Rory and Lowry will be second favourite. I think Sahith Theegala and Will Zalatoris will be third favourite. And then you're kind of dropping down to Morikawa and Kitayama, Fitzy and his brother, Thomas Detry, Robert McIntyre kind of market. But you've got 2 of the 3 that I think will be right at the pointy end, and I think they're very, very good picks. So that's very good. And I knew that you wouldn't pick my 3, so we're safe. So again, full swing shout out. I'm going with Joel Damon and Keith Mitchell. So Joel Damon, I love Joel, and he has started finding some form. And listeners of the podcast know I've got a love-hate relationship with Keith Mitchell, and I did see him when I was in Houston the other week, and I did want to go and say, mate, just fucking win a tournament, would you please? Because you're starting to do my head in. Tom Hoagie and Maverick McNealy is going to be my second pick. Tom Hoagie's stats have been really, really good this year, but hasn't quite done what he needs to do. And Maverick McNealy's up and down. He was very, very good either the last time he was out or second last time. So he's going to be in the picks. Then I go on the Canadians, so Taylor and Hadwin. I feel like Taylor sets up really well here. Adam Hadwin kind of plays well when they're playing in the West Coast start of the season. Hopefully he can find some form this week. But I feel like I'm much more confident with your picks, but that's okay. Who am I giving money to? Who am I giving $50 to when you do beat me?
Okay, our charity of choice is Melbourne City Mission's Sleep at the G, which is for youth homelessness.
Done. So Melbourne City Mission's, it's going to be your 3 on my 3. $50 goes to them when I lose, which I'm feeling reasonably confident I'm going to, but that's okay. I haven't lost in a while, so that'll be a good thing to do. Now, the podcast this week you're going to be recording. This will probably come out before your podcast. So what's the tip? What are we talking about this week?
What are we not talking about
this week? Yeah, I know. It's a wide range. A hot topic is Caitlin Clark. She's the college basketballer who's taking the world by storm, literally.
Cheers. I was over there for that few weeks in the States, and yeah, there wasn't a television that wasn't turned on watching any of the NCAA games, but yeah, she was definitely crowd favorite in the stadiums, and anywhere I was in the States, everyone wanted to talk about her.
Yeah, it's insane. It's very cool.
What did you think about her recent comment about being paid more than golfers?
I didn't hear that. What did she say?
Well, here we go. Hot take. So to quote, let's quote it correctly. She said, I don't think we should be paid the same as NBA players. They get more views, but I think WNBA players should be paid more than live golfers. Nobody watches them.
I wholeheartedly support her theory on that.
The Shark's yeah. come out and tried to defend it, and he's
bitten back.
what a surprise.
Okay, he said, yeah, I heard what Caitlin Minimum Wage Clark said.
Oh, God.
Rather watch a Rory press conference than those chicks try to play basketball. Our snack shop employees make more than them. The claws are out.
Oh, Shark. It's like, honestly, just play a straight bat. Don't do that. He will never learn. Well, he can do what he wants to do. Actually, I'm going to talk about it. Anyone who listens to the show knows I've got exactly zero interest in Liv. And for the 500 people that asked me if I'm going to be in Adelaide this week, nope. But if you are going to be there and you're going to enjoy it, good luck to you. I hope you have 10,000 beers and enjoy it, because that's kind of really all you're going for. Liv Adelaide, I'm guessing you guys might be watching. Or do you have any interest in Liv?
I think it's definitely got a place in diversifying the offering of golf.
Yep.
But I wouldn't say I'm watching it any more than what I was watching golf before. So from that perspective, I think, probably indifferent, really.
Yeah, I think that that would be, I think the idea of going over to Adelaide being the event would be the appeal of it, not the actual golf. So therefore not being over there for the event would mean there is little appeal to like watching it and saying that. Yeah. I mean, I don't think if I were at home and I were like, there's nothing else to watch, let's put something on in the background, like maybe that's about the extent of it. But
yeah.
Report writing times.
Yeah, exactly. Report writing time's a good time for it.
Yeah. I feel like, so I used to cycle a lot. Now I just commute, but I used to go to Adelaide for the cycling every year and I loved it. And I feel like Live Adelaide's a bit like that. I feel like it's a destination. It's a great thing to go to. It's a party atmosphere and I get why people enjoy it. And there are some exceptional golfers playing, but I just don't have any interest in it. So I'm not going, but I feel like, and I don't think I'd watch it because it's just another golf tournament on television, not anything spectacularly different. I think, like you said, summed it up really well. Being there is very different to not being there, but I won't be there. The favorites, the market is up for this one because Australians will bet on anything. John Rahm is your favorite, $7. Joaquin Neiman, $11. Bryson, $13. Cam Smith, $13. Tyrrell Hatton, $13. Taylor Gooch, $15. Dustin Johnson, $21. Lucas Herbert, $21. Abe Anser, $23. I won't give you a tip. I have no idea. I don't know how any of these guys are playing outside how they went at the Masters. I can guarantee that people will be leaning into John Rahm because he's still a top three golfer in the world. Bryson played well at the Masters. If you were going to have a bet outside of that, you'd probably look down at Abe Anser and say $23 as a pure guess. But who knows? Who knows? That's it for the show. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Amelia.
Thank you for having us.
No, a pleasure. And Lily, thank you so much.
Good to be here.
Anyone who wants to listen this week, what is the handle on the socials that they should be looking out for?
At Shanked It Podcast, so Shanked It Podcast on Instagram and TikTok and Spotify and Apple and all that jazz.
If you don't need to spell Shanked It for the golfers. They are all very aware of how to spell Shanked and how to hit Shanks, yeah. I can guarantee you.
The amount of people that are like, so how do you spell that? I'm like, the way, like phonetically?
No, good job. Really appreciate it. And anyone who does want to listen to a female voice talking about sport, please make sure you give them a download this week. Cheers.